There are no upfront costs, and you could resolve your debt for a fraction of what you owe.
Call 1-800-958-9891.
You are watching Biz TV.
Oh, you could say, well, you know, it was started here.
From the birthplace of radio's greatest era, live from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough.
Wait, who?
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
Huh? The big dog, Kevin McCullough.
Who? Kevin McCullough.
No.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No He Can't.
Kevin McCullough
is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No He Can't.
What?
A Barack Obama's Dismantling Hope of Change and CEO of Extreme Media.
Oh. Well, hello there. Welcome to Saturday. Good to have you with us. We have got so much on tap for you. David Fisher, our good friend at Landmark Capital. There's a very funny thing going on in the economy right now. We're going to talk about it in hour one. And look out. Oh, my gosh. Who's that popping on the screen? Yeah. Ah. Is Hillary Clinton about to get back into the presidential politics race for 2020? If you've watched any of her social media in recent days, you know she's just been like, I can't wait. Oh, please, please let me in. Please let me in. Like, I actually think Hillary has been like become a religious person in recent days. I think she's actually been praying, dear Lord, please let the Democratic convention go to a brokered state so that they may coronate me as their queen for 2020. Like, I actually think she's been, like, trying to pull that off. Of course, Satan doesn't answer prayers, so I don't know exactly what she thought she was going to be accomplishing there. But anyway, yeah, when she says Lord, it means something completely different than what most people say. So here's the thing. Minnie Mike might be asking her into the presidential race because on Drudge Report today, there was this big headline that flashed across the screen. Mike and the VPOTUS from the same state, if they were to get elected. Friends, coming up tonight in hour number two, I don't want to do anything except I canceled the ladies' lounge tonight. I want to just take your phone calls on whether or not you want Hillary back in the race. You need Hillary back in the race. Otherwise, then stand a post. because I have this, I don't know, this internal sense that there might be some negatives to this decision. Evidently, some of my friends in media do too. Melissa Francis, the stellar, amazing host over at Fox News and Fox Business and former star from Little House on the Prairie years ago. This is what she tweeted earlier today. Speaking of Hillary Clinton and Mike Bloomberg, they are perfect. Both think they can buy voters without having to actually touch or smell them. Zing. Because, you know, Bloomberg's not done any campaign appearances. And the ones he does, we'll get into this in hour two, too. He's speaking to a whole group of people down in Houston, and he says some really weird stuff to which all Texans just utterly laughed at him about. We'll get into that. I'll even try to find you the video, and we'll play it for you. But should Hillary be part of the 2020 equation? This is what Mike Bloomberg, who, remember, is not competing in the first five states. He wants to make this about the ultimate, like, power play over the president. Meanwhile, what's going on?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. I'm Bernie Sanders, and I'm winning. I won in Iowa, and they stole it from me. I had 50,000 more votes, and he got the same number of delegates as I did. What is it?
Yeah. So, and now Bernie he's jumped to a huge lead in California, which is going to be a big, big haul of delegates for him. Texas, he was tied with Biden for the lead. Biden's just like, who? What? What was that? There was a Biden? What's a Biden? But now he's like thoroughly in front in Texas. Texas and California are both on March 3rd. in the Super Tuesday contest. And he's now ahead in Nevada, where Biden had had a lead. And Biden is crumbling faster than blue cheese in South Carolina. And blue cheese crumbles pretty easily for the non-culinary inclined amongst us. So you have Bernie Sanders. I'm a socialist, and this is what I will do for America. And he's actually earning it. He's out there getting the votes, and people are voting for him, and he's doing the campaign stuff. And meanwhile, there's little Mini Mike.
Yeah, I'm gonna buy all the votes. I'll go over to there and I'll say that I'm the better guy because I was a real billionaire. He'll laugh at his own remarkable humor. Seriously, Mike Bloomberg, I don't know how he won mayor of New York three terms in a row. I didn't really participate in the city elections at that time here, but the man has to have the least amount of personality of maybe any person who's ever served in public office. I don't know. Like, literally, I don't know. I can't explain how New York voted him mayor three times. Other than in his first term, he said, well, I'll be exactly what Giuliani was for another term, which he kind of almost was. And then he just started writing off the reservation. And by the third term, which he had changed the laws for just to allow himself to do it, and then he changed them back so that nobody else could do it after he left, he literally, like, started doing stuff like, well, I don't think you should drink more than 64 ounces of soda at a time. It's just not good for you. To which normal Americans everywhere else outside the city went, okay, I'm glad you're not my mayor. But he's also said things like, well, you know, if you want to stop crime, then what you have to do is throw young black kids up against the wall and frisk them. And he's not completely inaccurate in that in his city at that time, a lot of the gun violence was perpetrated by black-on-black gang violence that was going on. And when you had a policy like stop and frisk, they were always under the impression that they may be at any point in time questioned about what they might be carrying with them. And if they were in fear of being caught with something that could send them to jail, they were less likely to do that. Of course, every African-American civil rights leader in the country said this is racist. And just because black kids are the ones carrying most of the guns, you shouldn't be targeting laws that would require them to be more under more scrupulous observation than anybody else. So at the end of the day, now he's running around going, no, that was a terrible idea. I should have never said I was in favor of that. But when he was mayor, he backed it for all 12 years. But I just wonder, I asked this on Twitter today, and I'm really going to be interested in taking your calls in the second hour. Doesn't it smack of desperation that a guy who hasn't even won one delegate to his party's convention after two contests? So forget, Biden came in fourth in Iowa, and then he came in fifth in New Hampshire. He's at least got some votes. Bloomberg doesn't have anybody who's even voted for him yet. Doesn't it smack a little bit desperate to name your VP choice? Like, before you even have any delegates applied towards the nomination? When we discuss this, my phone line is 888-340-3373. And in hour two, I look forward to discussing that with you. Let's go to the big board. We will see Mike Bloomberg in the we'll talk about all that in the second part of the show tonight. In the first hour tonight, I'm gonna visit with David Fisher. Now, David Fisher is an amazing and very prescient predictor of things, and he's noticing something in the Trump economy, which, while the Trump economy is fiery red hot, I mean, you just cannot beat what we've got going on right now economically, there are some concerns as it pertains to your own personal financial well-being that it might be good to pay attention to. Because while the economy is roaring, it appears that some decisions being made by some are not necessarily very healthy. So I want him to talk to us about...
With Mighty Bite, call or click today.
Can't get enough of Biz Talk Radio? Why not join in on the important conversations about managing your money or growing your business? Go to Facebook.com/BizTalkRadio or Twitter.com/BizTalkRadio and explore more of what you love about our programming.
And happens, they can't touch your precious metals, and you have peace of mind. Call Landmark today, 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575, or visit Landmark Gold.
Of all the boys, of all the boys, boys, of all the boys, 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 of all the boys. Of all the boys I've known and I've known some.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, a very special edition today, looking at your money. Stay with us.
Yes, well, I'll admit you deserve expressions and fishing. Rack my brain hoping to explain things you do to me. By mere Mr. Shame, please let me explain. By mere Mr. Shame means that you're grand. By mere Mr. Shame, again and again, means you're the very
All right, very glad to have you with us. We've got a lot to get to. It's a very busy day. There's a very busy week laid out in front of us. Lots of news and politics and Washington and caucuses and primaries and all the rest of it that's got to happen. But mixed in with all of this is a lot of what seems like very good economic news. Economy's doing well, people working, making supposedly more money than they've ever made before. So is there an underlying problem? Is there an underlying risk that may be being minimized in the media, maybe even by politicians? Well, this is the real dilemma of the debt that we're carrying as a nation. And we're going to get into just what it looks like and how many different parts of it there are and all that kind of stuff, and the success that we're having as a full-blown employed economy that sees some wages rising and some other things going. And David Fisher is here with us to discuss it all. Landmark Capital is his company. He's the CEO and founder. And, of course, he's with us usually on Mondays for a single segment. Today we've got him for the full time together. And, David, it's great to welcome you back. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. I'm excited to talk about the topic today, that it's my passion because I love our country, yet debt is going to grab hold of it, in fact, the world. So we should be talking about this.
Well, we certainly should. And there's a lot of other crises going on. You know, coronavirus is still hanging out there. Stock market still hasn't decided what it thinks of it yet. And the medical community hasn't fully decided. We'll talk about that in coming days. But David, I started noticing something, for a long time. You've been with me for 3 years now, I think, and we've talked about debt and its in what is happening with debt and how it's impacting and putting people at risk almost every week since we've been on together. But it is worse now than it's ever been, and the deficit is now, I think, approaching $3 trillion or some crazy number like that. I mean, that's just like gobbledygook numbers now. People don't even know like how many zeros are in a trillion. So is this, and the other thing I wanted to ask about was, we were coming off of the president's visit to Davos, where they talk about all these things.
Absolutely.
So take us to Davos, and where do we begin this conversation about the actual state of debt versus what we perceive the economy to be right now?
Well, it was the number one topic right alongside of global warming at this last year annual economic forum in Davos. And the previous year, the 49th year of the forum, it was the number one topic. So obviously, this is a growing thing. It certainly hasn't gotten fixed in a year, hasn't quite even been addressed. And that's the dilemma world economic leaders, billionaires, hedge fund managers, economists don't really know how to address this growing situation. But to understand the full impact of it, first of all, I want to say that, you know, we do have a thriving economy. President Trump has done phenomenal things. Even his first week in office, Kevin, remember back, he started taking all the hurdles away that President Obama put in against businesses and corporations. Then he opened up the oil producing in our country, and now we're self-sufficient. We don't need oil from OPEC or other nations. In fact, we have a surplus. We can help the rest of the world and make revenue that way, but it's not enough to pay down our debt. But he's done a lot of great things, and that's why you're seeing unemployment at an all-time 50-plus year low, why you're seeing jobs being created, why you're seeing businesses thriving. But there's some other things that have happened that we might not be aware of that are contributing factors that are actually detrimental, aside from President Trump, which he has no correlation to or no jurisdiction or no control over. The global debt has been growing from $150 trillion now. Back in 2007, it was $75 trillion. The Fed's balance sheet in 2007 was $880 billion. Now we're at $4.3 trillion. And the Fed has been lowering rates. It was 5% back in 2007 before the crisis. We're currently at 1.75. There's a 50% chance, or excuse me, 70% chance of Fed lowering rates in September, 50% chance in December. So the Fed stimulates the economy. The president's and his ideas are stimulating the economy. And another thing called corporate debt is stimulating the economy with all the stock buybacks. But debt, you got to pay it back. And the national debt has gone from $8 trillion to $23.2 trillion during this period of time. And that's what is being talked about at Davos. That is what the problem is. The Fed, the government debt, and corporate debt is now coming to a fruition where we are going to have to face a big reality. And that doesn't look very good, according to many billionaires.
Well, and let's talk about what's contributing to this, because I think people, you know, you and I have spoken about the fact that they did do another quantitative easing. They called it something else. They made it try to look like something else. But if you know what quantitative easing is, it's the printing of money and the flushing of a market with notes that people can use. And so the stock market likes that because the value of stocks have been going up. But when it comes to intrinsic value, David, what does that do to actual commodity, not pieces of paper, but actual commodities that that hold their value? Where does the value in the economy go if the diminishing return on the value of a dollar keeps going down?
We have to look at what is the real meaning of the value of the dollar was based upon gold and silver in our Constitution. And that's where we walked away from that, Kevin, in 1971. If you look at inflation charts, if you look at debt to income ratios, if you look at the cost of living versus wage increase, those things haven't paid for themselves. Those things haven't worked. And so we're perpetuating this whole system. And I'm not a doom and gloom person, but right. Billionaires this time, look back in 2007, we had nobody, absolutely no economist really was saying there's a problem coming. Billionaires weren't saying there's a problem coming. Hedge fund managers were not saying there's a problem coming. They are shouting to the rooftops. And that's why this is the number one topic at Davos back to back. So real value is based upon something when you inflate a stock price as much as it is. I mean, look at what, I'm not against Tesla, but look at what happened to Tesla today. Right. It went up $100 a share. They didn't make any more money. It was just perception. So what's happening is there's this perception that is growing, and this perception, reality is going to hit. So the difference between perception and reality, perception is winning the game right now.
All right, more with David Fisher as we continue. By the way, he's got a lot of free resources for you tonight. If you email him at
0896 or go to NutriChopper.com. Order now.
You are watching Biz TV.
We're 68751 or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KMC.
of the most important things David Fisher said in that last segment with us was that the World Economic Forum all of a sudden 2 years ago started talking about something that they hadn't talked about in ages prior to that. And the reason is because somebody thinks that something's on the increase, something's about to happen. What is that thing that's about to happen? Well, if you watch the debt that is being accumulated, it is ballooned out of control. And David, before we move on to our next question, you wanted to revisit this because it's not just one administration or another that has contributed to this problem.
You know, as President Trump, he said when fixing things, he said this famous quote, this should have been fixed a long time ago, you know, especially when he's talking about trade. And right. Our debt should have been fixed a long time ago. If my dad served with President Reagan. I love Reagan. And President Trump is following the Reaganomics model where let's increase the debt. Let's get the government spending to help stimulate the economy. And out of that, we'll create corporations, will hire more people. More people will get back to work. Revenue will come to families. And out of that, we'll pay down the debt. It worked in theory, but in factuality, the debt grew under Reagan 186%. So $1.8 trillion, we started about $1 trillion, and he left office with about $2.2 trillion. I'm not blaming President Reagan, I love him, but that started a new era of debt growing in our country. If you look at H.W. Bush, it grew $1.5 trillion. Under Bill Clinton, $1.4 trillion. And then the changes really started to escalate after 2002, when the Fed started lowering interest rates and creating a lot of money. So under George W. Bush, the debt increased $5.8 trillion. President Obama holds the record in the crown for the most amount of debt at $8.59 trillion. So we're going from five to almost nine. And now, what has President Trump done? If we put it in terms of his first term and what it would be at the end, calculating projections based upon what we've already done, it will be $5.08 trillion this first term. And if we continue that spending without any tax cuts, that would make it worse. Without any more spending bills, which we probably will have, President Trump will be at $9.1 trillion. So what's happened, there's this graph, not by a president, because it's not a president's fault, it's Congress. President puts the budget together and Congress approves it, but it doesn't matter for Democrat or Republican. We have an environment that says it's okay to massively overspend. I mean, think about it. Would you ever think in our lifetime here 15 years ago we'd have a trillion dollar budget deficit? That just sounds insane. It is our current environment. So it's not about Democrats or Republicans, but there's no clear fix to it. And that's why we're going to have another financial crisis. I mean, recently, Warren Buffett just moved 40% of his money aside to cash. Warren Buffett, who says, I hate cash, is the worst place to be. Why is he doing that? The IMF chief, the new person, just warned on January 19 of a Great Depression. I hate that word, Great Depression, but that's the verbiage they're saying. So Saxo Bank on January 14th this year said a sharp correction in equities is imminent. There's 40% of companies that are publicly traded companies that are currently showing in the United States that actually don't make money, but their stocks are going up. That's leverage money. Vanguard says there's an elevated risk of a drawback of a downturn in stocks, and Fidelity told baby boomers to stay away from stocks right now. Why are they saying that? Morgan Stanley came out and says the positioning is going to get ugly in the derivative market. He's talking about debt now.
Right.
And Mike Wilson says this is unsustainable, but in the absence of a meaningful catalyst, it can also continue. What is that catalyst? It's the Fed. But here's the deal. The Fed cannot just keep printing money forever. They want to develop an exit strategy. And in September of 2018, they tried to exit the market. What happened? The market went down 10%. That same year in December, they tried to exit the market again. The market went down 10%. So they started this whole new process of let's lower interest rates still and let's make money cheap. But we can't go down that far because we're at 1.75 and we're at 5% when they started this before called quantitative easing. And they have a name for this, by the way. It's called QE light. So it's just a little bit of quantitative easing. But they're going to continue this. Well, I'm making a prediction. They're not going to stop in April. They have to keep the printing presses going forward. But Mark Carney, like I said, the Bank of England, he's going to be right. This is not eventually not going to work. And I think this is the year where we're going to run out of bullets.
Longer has 30 years of payments ahead of us at 20% interest.
There's no fees until you see results. So call now. Make one monthly program payment and free up your cash. Resolve your debt.
Call 800-858-1499. 800-858-1499.
68751. Or by going to balanceofnature.com. And make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KMC.
Just had a funny thought hit me. If Bernie Sanders does get the nomination and he's leading in Iowa, he's leading in New Hampshire, he's leading in Nevada or tied, he's leading in California, he's tied in Texas. If he wins five of the first six races here and gets the nomination and people start talking about the government giving you everything else for free in life, man, David Fisher, with what we've been talking about in recent weeks as it pertains to government debt and the threat to our economic vibrancy, that would just finish us off if we even considered taking all that stuff on, given that We're dealing with a $1 trillion deficit and trillions of dollars of government debt. But let me ask you right up here at the beginning of this segment, David, we've talked about gold. I am a fan of gold. I have most of my retirement actually in gold. I know you don't recommend that people do most of their portfolio. I have chosen to do that. But what I'm curious about is, has anybody of the billionaires and the hedge fund managers and all the people that are talking about the severe debt that we're dealing with, have any of them noted that gold is doing something that is something that we could all do to help protect each of our own portfolios?
Well, we know the government's not going to be able to wipe away the debts, and we know the government's not going to come in and wipe away your debt unless Bernie Sanders gets elected, and he might do that with student loans. I don't think
magic
that's
wand,
gonna happen.
This
magic wand,
magic
healthcare
wand.
Free for all, you know, gold would rally if those things happen. So, you know, so therefore we have to be a person that takes our own investment into our own hands.
Right.
And, you know, a billionaire, the largest billionaire hedge fund manager, his name is Ray Dalio. He said this recently at Davos: if you don't own gold, you know neither history or economics. I believe it would be both risk-reducing and return-enhancing to consider adding gold to one's portfolio. The largest wealth manager, a hedge fund manager in the world, said that a couple weeks ago.
He's a hedge fund guy, and,
yeah.
he's telling people to get into gold.
Yes, a paper guy, a
yeah.
stock investor, telling people these passionate things. He's not the only one. Jeffrey Gundlach said the same thing. Jim Rogers said the same thing. I can go on and on. The list is, I've never ever heard of these people say these things. You know, even President Trump likes gold. A lot of people don't know that. But let me tell you some facts on what President Trump says about gold.
Sure.
You know, when he was running for his candidacy, he's, you know, contrary to what some people think, he did in July 15, 2015, he submitted financial statements to the Federal Elections Committee. I have a document right here listing some of his assets. He has gold. He reported on page 36 and 92. And what is interesting about his gold holdings, it appears to be in physical gold, not shares of gold-backed exchange-traded funds nor future contracts. So President Trump has physical gold in his portfolio. He also, some might not remember, but a couple of years back, he accepted in a lease payment, instead of cash, a cashier's check or dollars, he accepted gold, physical gold. And they did actually a ceremony in the Trump Tower in the Manhattan Financial District, because this was such a big event. Just look at his building. Look at his logo. It's the color of gold.
Gold, yeah.
If you Google his apartment with him and Melania and Barron, their son, in Manhattan, look at the inside. A lot of gold, ornate gold. So gold represents wealth, prestige, power, security. And it might be, according to Ray Dalio, the best investment for an upside potential. And certainly, if we have some these things unravel, we could see gold go real high. And President Trump is an advocate of gold because here's what he said in a speech at CPAC. This just blew my mind, Kevin. He said this, and this is reported by Forbes magazine. So it's mainstream Forbes. Nathan Lewis is the contributor for Forbes. Lewis repeatedly observed President Trump showing a strong affinity for gold. I'm reading from the article. He said he is also has a keen annuity of grasp on how gold, on how the gold standard was crucial in having made America great. And he's referring back to previous to the 50s, 60s, until 1971 when Nixon took us off the gold standard. One president took us off the standard, and one president, Kevin, can put us back on that standard. And it looks like President Trump might be that guy because here's what he said. Quote, we used to have a very, very solid country because it was based on a gold standard, end quote. And there's some Fed candidates that President Trump has submitted to go before when the newly elections happen in the Federal Reserve Board. And all of those three candidates are strong advocates of a gold standard. So who knows? We might have once again the dollar being backed by gold, but I wouldn't wait till then, because if that happened, there's some people saying that gold, and I'm not saying this, but there are people that have done studies saying if we went to a gold-backed currency, in other words, back for every dollar we have out there, we have a dollar gold on deposit, gold would have to go over $10,000. And there's a few of them saying, and I don't agree with these numbers, 25 to 35,000. If it didn't happen, all these other economic events is probably going to cause gold to make some big moves. And that's why central banks, Kevin, are buying gold aggressively right now. The fastest pace in history. Last year was a banner year, for the largest year out of 50 years. And this is only 1% off the banner year this last year. So it's gold is being bought by central banks right now aggressively because they see something happening.
Well, imagine that, friend, if we did reback the dollar with gold, what that would mean, it would be the salvation of our currency because the currency would be worth something again. But it would also be the protection of everything you've worked for. When you are considering, you know, and David, I love technology, but sometimes it is the bane of our existence. Nobody notices how much taxes they pay anymore because nobody gets a paycheck. You know, they just have it direct deposit, just go straight in. And we don't take the time and look and see where everything has come from. But if you were able to do that, friend, and notice the impact of what your dollars are able to do, they don't go as far as they used to. And part of that reason is that we are
super low. Closing costs are super low. And Zoom, we approve you right over the phone, even for no income check loans. Big drop in mortgage rates. Big opportunity for you to save money. Call Zoom Refi today. 888-885-7659.
68751 or by going to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KMC.
All right, so I hope you found this hour helpful. It's not because the president doesn't care. He's trying to fix as much as he can. But if the debt that is held by corporations and individuals and governments continues at the pace that it is, your personal portfolio, your retirement, your ability to provide for your family is being severely undermined every day that debt grows greater. And because of that, David Fisher has spent this hour with us to help us kind of understand that. Gold is a stabilizing force in one's portfolio. It does help you hedge against those things that are out there. And friends, I know that he's got a number of suggestions about how we prepare for this. So
David, I know you've got resources. I know you've got ideas. How can we best make sure that we are doing what we need to do to just even be good stewards of what God has given us?
Well, if you're a person, Kevin, that follows Scripture, the Bible says a portion to seven, a portion to eight, because you do not know what tragedy may befall you. Listen, I don't know what the future is going to hold or when there might be a big change, but I know there will be a change. And I'd rather be 2 years too early than 2 days too late, simply like Noah building the ark. Because when the rain comes financially and the landscape changes, like 2008, it came swiftly and abruptly and devastated a lot of people's financial future. And a lot of people said, I'll never will go through that again. But if you look at what happened, if you would have diversified into gold ahead of time, in 4 years, it went up 250%. So we're seeing the same signs again. We say, put a portion to seven, a portion to eight. Does that literally mean those seven or eight areas? I don't know if it means exactly that, but I'd have some money in cash. I'd still take advantage of the stock market because it's probably going to go a little bit higher, I think. I'd probably get some, of course, you're going to live in a home, so you have to have real estate. That's part of the portfolio, but make sure you have some insurance, some wealth insurance called gold, because at the end of the day, when this does happen, and it's not if, it will happen. Otherwise, why are these people saying this thing so passionately? And don't confuse my passion with anger. I'm not upset with our country. I love our country. I love what our president is doing, but it's not going to work long term. And this long term is now in the short term of our lives this year and maybe at the most next year. So I'd rather be early than late. Get some gold. You can roll over your 401k, your IRA, and buy physical gold and take possession of it without a tax liability. We have mechanisms for that that are legal, and we have a white paper on that. The best thing is get some information. We're big on strategy. We're big on education. There's no pressure working with my company, and so we can help you learn about this.
So if you would like to sample the resources and get to know David's people and start that conversation, here's that number, 844-604-2575. One more time, 844-604-2575. I'm alive.